Chapter 5, A Perpetual Prayer List. It was hay fever time, and having awakened at 4 a.m. with a fit of sneezing, I took some medication to alleviate the distress. As I realized that sleep had now escaped me, I asked the Lord to lead my mind into meditation and prayer. Immediately, I began thinking about the fierce battle the children of Israel found themselves in when the Amalekites attacked them at Rephidim. Moses, Aaron, and Hur observed the conflict from the top of a hill. Moses, the praying man that he was, stretched out his arms towards heaven, interceding for his people. The battle went to the Israelites' favor until Moses' hands became heavy, and he had to put them down. Then the enemy began to prevail. As the pattern repeated a couple more times, Aaron and Hur realized they had to hold Moses' hands up toward heaven in order for Israel to be victorious. Taking a large stone, they sat their leader on it, then both of them held up his hands all day long until the sun went down and Israel had won the skirmish. Thoughts of this incident led me to understand that in interceding for those in need, consistency in prayer is of greater importance than I had previously assumed. I recalled how my prayers for others over the years produced little results until I made myself a prayer list and brought every person before the Lord daily. It was then that I began to see many of my prayers answered before my eyes. At that point, numerous individuals gained victory over the power of sin, as in answer to prayer, God pushed back the forces of darkness so that they had a chance to think for themselves. Daily, without fail, for almost 3 years, I had brought the case of a young man named Robert before the throne of grace, praying that the Holy Spirit would lead him to repentance and help him to make intelligent decisions for his present life and for eternity. God does not violate anyone's freedom of choice. However, the Spirit of God does not force people into anything they do not desire. He only shows them a better way of life and invites them to experience real joy and peace. The choice is theirs to make under these most favorable conditions. The thought that the Creator treasures human beings who are struggling with the power of sin and are rescued by the power of love more dearly than the unfallen inhabitants of the galaxies filled my heart with surging concern for others. Feeling a sense of responsibility similar to what a father feels about the well-being of his children, I asked myself, if I were to die, who would plead for the merits of Christ to be appropriated to those on my prayer list? Another question popped into my mind. How could I assume that daily intercessions would be made for those who are now receiving help from the Holy Spirit, lest they once more become perplexed, distressed, and oppressed? With a sense of helplessness, I told myself, what I need is some kind of perpetual prayer list. I don't know why I said that, but I did, and the thought stuck in my mind. As a result, I began telling the Lord about my worry that my intercessions could cease suddenly, leaving others deprived of much-needed help. For the previous couple days, I had been memorizing passages from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John about Jesus' great concern for his disciples. From them I knew that he understood the full extent of my concern for my people's needs. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. John 17:11-20. Christ's words of intercession encompassing all Christians to the end of time led me to respond, Dear Savior, please make me a wise intercessor for my fellow humans, so that the very best of our Father's blessings may crown their lives, leading them to the city of God. Having spoken that short request, I waited for an answer. The Lord led me to Exodus 28:29. It declares, Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. Here was the answer to my human limitations. I would have the Lord engrave the names of the many persons on my prayer list upon the breastplate of his righteousness. Were I to die that day, Jesus, the divine intercessor, would continue to intercede by the mercy seat for them. Yes, indeed, I have a perpetual prayer list. And although over the decades it has grown to hundreds of individuals, the vastness of their needs has not burdened the great intercessor. The Apostle Paul confidently wrote, We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:15-16. No use for spiritual things. During the early 70s, while I was working on the Buffalo, New York telephone directory, my superiors asked me if I was willing to help out in an emergency. The Plattsburgh, New York telephone canvas was in progress, and a need had arisen for someone who could handle large business accounts, many of them located in Montreal, Canada. It would involve about a month. I obliged and tackled the project with vigor. With the divine power of the Holy Spirit opening the way before me, the undertaking turned out to be a great success. In fact, that year I was one of two men given special recognition in New York State and honored by being made a member of the Sales Achievement Club for outstanding sales performances in Yellow Pages advertising. After having called on business accounts in Montreal all day and driven the 60 miles back to Plattsburgh, I arrived at the office about 7 in the evening. I quickly posted on the canvas status board the amount of revenue handled that day and the net gain in advertising dollars. Just then a fellow by the name of Anthony came in to post his report also. He had had an early evening appointment with a building contractor that had prevented him from eating at his regular time, so we decided to have our evening meal together. As we were eating, Tony asked a couple questions about my wife and children. A few minutes later, he told about his family life. Again, in this case, I saw the Holy Spirit inviting me to include the man in my prayer ministry. Tony was filled with remorse over an incident that had brought tragedy into the lives of several people. It had resulted in the loss of a successful business built up after many years of hard work and had caused estrangement from his teenage children, whom he loved very much. It began at a banking firm's Christmas party. He was conversing with the president of the bank and his secretary when the girl, who had brought the latter, said that because of a call from home, she had to leave earlier than intended. Could the secretary get a ride back with someone else? At that moment, Tony offered to help. During the long drive to her place, the secretary did most of the talking. And as he listened, the thought entered his mind that he should try to get a kiss for his trouble. He politely asked if she would object to a friendly Christmas kiss. To his great surprise, she stated that it was an excellent idea, adding that she had been hoping for a little romance. That supposedly innocent Christmas kiss turned out to be his undoing. The woman was also married, but had occasionally flirted with Tony when he visited the bank. The Christmas kiss was followed by a New Year's kiss and developed into an affair. After a few months of meeting at various motels, the woman's husband had her followed by a private investigator. Furious, the husband phoned Tony's wife to inform her of what had been going on. She, in turn, went into a rage that led her to demand a divorce settlement that wiped Tony out financially. He had to sell his business to meet the legal fees and to satisfy the decision of the courts. He and his girlfriend decided to leave town and go to a big city. After working hard for 3 years at establishing themselves in what they called their new lives, an unexpected event shattered all their dreams for the future. The woman's husband contacted her and pleaded for her to return home for the sake of the children. She jumped at the offer and left Tony so quickly that it stunned him senseless for days. He tried to escape from his problems through drink. Now he spent his weekends in an alcoholic haze to escape his guilt. I asked him if he ever thought of seeking divine help. "To be honest with you, Roger, I must say that I have no use for spiritual things. In fact, I have not been in a church since I was married, which was years ago." A couple more questions revealed his almost total lack of knowledge about God and the Bible, and his apparent satisfaction with his ignorance. He believed in God as a creative moving force that animates all forms of life, but refused to accept anything that had to do with a personal God. Then I did something that shocked him. "Tony, seeing that you initiated this conversation and willingly told me about your problems, I want you to know that from this day on, I will be interceding in prayer for you. In fact, I will place your name on my prayer list, never to be removed. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will lead your feet to the city of God." For a few seconds, he was speechless. "I've never heard of anything like that. I don't know just how to express myself here. But I want you to know that I am surprised and moved by your interest. The sincerity and power of your convictions, I must admit, have touched me, giving me a strange new feeling. I thank you for what you said." And then he changed the subject. Because of our busy schedules, we did not have occasion to talk again, except for a few words at the office. At the end of my assignment, as I was leaving the office on Friday, he accompanied me to the car. It was then he made a statement that helped me understand why my commitment to pray for him had so startled him. The reason that I was moved so deeply and almost lost control of my emotions in the presence of everybody in the restaurant was because I had heard my grandmother say similar things. When I said that I had never heard words like those, what I meant to say was that I had never heard anything like that since my grandmother died. Before she passed away, she said to me, "Anthony, I believe that my prayers for you will be answered, and that the Spirit of God will lead your feet to the city of God." 9 years passed before I met him again. By that time, I had been promoted to division sales manager, and was visiting a telephone directory canvas in Pennsylvania. One day at noon, a couple of my men and I were looking the menu over in a restaurant when someone to my left said, "Roger Morneau, what brings you to this part of the world?" When I looked up, there stood Tony, with his hand extended in greeting. Now the area manager for a large marketing firm, he was with some of his men also, and they were just leaving. He stated that he would like to talk to me and would return in a few minutes and wait in his car until I finished my meal. As we sat in the car, the very first thing that he did was remind me of our conversation 9 years before in a Plattsburgh, New York restaurant, and how it had been instrumental in getting him to think about those things that have real value in life. Thanking me several times for praying for him, he explained that he no longer used alcohol, had quit smoking, and above all, had become interested in spiritual matters because of some unusual outworkings of divine providence. After we parted all day long, I kept thanking and praising Jesus for having led me to understand more fully the power of his ministration in the Holy of Holies of the Heavenly Sanctuary. Otherwise, I would never have experienced the blessing that was mine to know that I have a perpetual prayer list in his carrying the names of all my people upon his heart.